If you would stand with me, please turn to page 686 in your hymn book. Page 686. I'll meet you in the morning. We'll sing all three verses to begin together tonight. Sing it out with me on the first verse. I will meet you in the morning by the bright river's side, when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long dreary day. I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smiles that I wear. When I meet you in the morning in the city that is built for square. All right, I saved this for a Sunday night. How many of you have never sung that before, ever? Well, I could play a trick on you and say you just did, but I won't do that. All right, I'm just teasing. But it's a great song. And man, you're looking forward to being in heaven one day, and we'll get to sit down with all of those that have gone on before. Let's sing it out on that second verse. I'll meet you in the morning in the sweet by and by. I will meet you in the morning in the sweet by and by, and exchange the old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointments, and nobody shall die in that land where the sun goeth down. I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river of that city of gold, where we all can be together and be happy for a while the years and the ages shall roll. I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit
over there crying. That was a song that my father-in-law, they used to sing at Victory Bible Baptist Church there where I got saved at. And Miss Vicki Parker used to sing that song. I can't remember who all the other ones were in the group there, but she's in heaven now and went home to be with the Lord this past summer. So I guess she'll meet us in the morning. Amen. And what a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sure glad you're here tonight. What a great old song. Amen. Brother Matt Whitney, why don't you open us in prayer tonight? Amen. You may be seated tonight. I do have a few announcements. Just wanted to mention very, very quickly. Of course, ladies that did sign up for the ladies retreat at Riverside Baptist Church up in St. Joseph, Missouri. That is this coming Friday and Saturday, April the 16th and 17th. And so make sure that you're aware of that. I believe the ladies will be meeting here at noon and then heading out. And then, of course, a week from this coming Wednesday night, we'll be starting our missions conference this year, and sure excited about that. Those that did sign up to bring food and things like that for the Wednesday night meal, make sure that you're aware of that, what you signed up for, and to have that here at the church by 5 o'clock Wednesday night, because we are planning on feeding our missionary families and our staff and all of those things. But looking forward to hosting this year our two missionary families, Brother John Landy and his family going to the field of Sri Lanka, and then also Brother Rob Kitchen and his family going to Germany. And then, of course, we're going to have guest preacher Pastor Jeff Abels of Berean Baptist Church there in Springfield, Missouri. And so, again, I know I've announced this quite a bit, but just want to make sure that folks are aware Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, we'll be having services each night. That'll be at 7 o'clock. And so be here and in your place. Yes, we'll be live streaming, but it'd be better to be here. Amen. And to let God speak to your heart. And then, of course, that Saturday, the 24th, we'll have quite a few things going on. We'll have the men's prayer breakfast. That'll be at 9 o'clock in the morning over at the Golden Corral restaurant on Black Bob Road. And basically the cost is your meal and then whatever you want to drink. I don't know what the prices are over there. I think it's about $10 a meal or something like that. I will say this, and I'm fairly certain that the rule is still going to be to wear your mask on and, in a that type of a business and restaurant and things like that. And so I just want to encourage our people. I know that, you know, we all have our little quirks and things like that. And maybe you're for masks, maybe you're not for masks. But let's remember, when we go to something like that, we not only represent, ourselves, but we represent the Lord. We represent Faith Baptist Church. And so let's be mindful of that, and let's have a good godly testimony. If they ask us to wear masks, let's wear a mask. All right. And let's do what's right there. Men want to invite you to come to that. I think that the ladies' tea, the ages are 10 and older, and I think that'd be good for our men as well. And so any of our boys 10 and older, if you've got sons that maybe you want to bring with you, that's fine. But we're going to be having that at 9 o'clock in the morning. Then there'll be the ladies' tea in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, and that'll be here at the fellowship hall over here. And so in each of those things, we're going to be hearing from our missionaries. Brother Rob Kitchen's going to be giving our men's devotion at our men's prayer breakfast, and then our ladies are going to be giving their testimonies there at the ladies' tea. And then, of course, that Sunday will be our Faith Promise Sunday. It'll be basically a normal schedule outside of, we will have a combined Sunday school class with our adults and our teen class. And Brother John Landy is going to be doing Sunday school. Then Pastor Abel's will be preaching our morning service. We will not have our Bible study time that Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, but at 6:30 that night will be our evening service. And so do make sure that you're aware of these things. Of course, as it gets closer, we'll have a brochure and stuff like that that'll have all the times and things on there for you. That way you can keep it straight. But also wanted to mention this. We do have our Faith Promise cards out as of right now. They're on the back table back there. And so you pray about what the Lord would have you to give. When we finish up with our missions conference on the 25th, that'll be our Faith Promise Sunday, okay? And so we need to get those turned in by then. And again, just fill it out. What I like to do is I fill out both sides. And, of course, it does say to keep one section as a reminder, and that's good to put in your prayer list and to pray over it, and then put the other one in there in the offering plate. Just fill it out, whatever you promise to give weekly or biweekly. If you do that, make sure that you clarify that on there, or monthly, however you want to do it, and then just tear it off and put it in the offering plate. Don't put your name on it, all right, and just put it in there. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the message tonight, but just wanted to mention those things and make sure that we do those things. I would like to do this, that the following Sunday, May the 2nd, that in our Sunday night service, we would have a tally that night, and put it all together, rejoice in what God's done, and maybe set our goal for the rest of the year. Amen. And so just wanted to mention those things. Then, of course, it's going to get even more busy in the next week. All right. After missions conference is over, you got about 2 days to catch a breath of air. And then we got our Faith Baptist school graduation and awards banquet. That'll be Thursday night, April the 29th. And so we go right out of missions conference into hosting family. All right, man. I had tacos and coffee and a nap. I'm ready to go. Some of y'all didn't get your nap, and you definitely didn't have tacos. So I'm just, anyways. All right. So those are the things coming up. So,
Brother Eric, come on. Let's all stand together again, please. Turn to page 672. Page 672 in the suite. By and by, we'll sing all three verses together tonight. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessed.
Great day in the Lord's house today. So thankful that we get to be here. So thankful that we get to give back to Him now. Amen. That's Brother Cody Watson, if you would pray for the offering tonight, please. Amen. You may be seated. Page 673 with me, please. Page 673. Let's stand for our last song. Oh, that will be glory for me. We'll sing all three verses tonight. Page 673. and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore. Just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Just to be there and to look on His face will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be
singing. You may be seated. This time we'll have a special for Miss Phyllis Watson and Miss Christy Wisdom.
Thank you.
Well, what a blessing. It'll sure be good when we get to heaven. Amen. Well, let's all stand tonight in honor of God's Word and want to invite you to the book of Philippians tonight in chapter number 4. The book of Philippians tonight in chapter number 4. Normally, we are in the life of Moses on Sunday night, but just felt like the Lord would have us to be here tonight in light of certainly what's coming up with our missions conference and those kind of things. Let me just give you my heart tonight. I really feel like this, that sometimes as a pastor, we fall into the danger of assuming. Meaning this, that we just assume people understand Faith Promise missions. I think sometimes we just do what we do because that's the way we've always done it. Well, I want to tell you tonight that I'm thankful that we can go to the Bible and see these things. We stand closed on the Lord's Supper. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because we can go to the Bible and we can see why. And you understand tonight that it's no different with the concept of Faith Promise missions, that we can go to the Word of God and we can see the examples of the early New Testament churches and how they were operating and how they were doing things. And I believe this, we can see Faith Promise right there in the Word of God. And so Philippians chapter number 4 tonight, and I'm going to pick up in verse number 10. And now you and I are going to see some very familiar verses that Christendom loves to take and to use it for their own glory. But I'm telling you, all of this is in the context of missions tonight. Look at verse number 10. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now again, that's in the context of missions. I believe this. I believe Paul was speaking of that same thing that Jesus Christ spoke of when he would say things like this, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Because I believe what he was saying is this, is that God can take care of me, God can supply, God can help me. And that's what Paul is saying here. But notice what he says in verse 14. He says, "Notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Again, another well-known verse, but it's in the context of Faith Promise giving. And then he says this, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, I'm not going to focus just primarily on those two verses there. I just felt like I would point that out to you tonight. We often hear those things, but we don't understand the context that it's given in. All right. But ultimately here's the deal tonight. We know that our missions conference is on the horizon. And as I have said quite a bit here, and I want to say to you again tonight, it is the most important business meeting a church can have. And the reason for that is because it is the business of us deciding what we're going to give towards missions and seeing the gospel go around the world. Now, my friend, that's the most important thing right there. But again, this is what we do when we would say this is how we fulfill the Great Commission. This is what we call Faith Promise missions. All right. And that's what you and I are going to see tonight. But more importantly, this is what I want to grab a hold of. This is a concept from the Bible. And I realize, hey, I'm in a mission-minded church tonight, and I praise God for that. And I realize that probably for many of us, this is going to be a reminder. This is going to be a refresher. And you know what? That's good. Because we do need to be reminded and we do need to be refreshed. And our focus and our attention does need to turn towards the missions conference coming ahead and what God would have us to give. We do need to be praying about those things and we do need to be talking about those things and we do need to be seeking the Lord. But for others, it may be something that is new. But regardless of where we're at tonight, we need to understand this. This is not something we just made up out of the blue. This is not something, well, this must be all the independent Baptist thing because the Southern Baptists, they have their thing and this group has their thing. No, 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 my friend. This is something that comes from the Word of God. And that's what we're going to see tonight. Though the name Faith Promise Missions is not in the Bible, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. The concepts, the principles are most certainly there. And this is where a church financially supports a God-called man that is sent out of another church of like faith to fulfill the Great Commission. And that's exactly what we see right here with the church at Philippi and the Apostle Paul. And that's what we're to do as Faith Baptist Church tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for being able to be a part of Faith Promise Missions. And I'm grateful tonight, Lord, to be able to pastor a mission-minded church. What a blessing, Lord. And Father, I want to thank You for the year that we've had, that even despite a pandemic and going online only for a period of time and all of the struggles and battles that came with that. And God, we're even just now getting to a place where we're starting to see some of our people get the vaccination and be able to come back. And Lord, we're grateful for that. And Lord, more than anything tonight, I want to praise You that, Lord, through all of those things, we stayed with our goal. We stayed with our commitment. God, You've used Faith Baptist Church in the past year. But Lord God, help us to understand tonight that that is in the past and we need to keep looking forward and we need to keep seeking You and we need to keep growing in our faith and growing in our giving and doing more for missions. And so God, would You help us tonight? Would You use the message tonight, though it may even be a reminder for many of us, help us, Lord, to get our hearts and our minds and our attention on Faith Promise and on the gospel going out, Lord, to be able to get behind these families that are coming in, to be able to not just to pray for them, but to financially be a help to them and to see fruit that is added to our account. God, would You help us tonight to see these things and just, Lord, to be reminded of it. Maybe even tonight, God, we would, Lord, let You stir and move among us. We would begin to seek Your face as to what You'd have us to do. And I pray and ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, I don't know if it's just spiritual warfare or it's the taco and coffee warfare, but my head is about to explode, all right? But I will say this, when you get to dealing with things like Faith Promise Missions or having a revival meeting or something like that, there is much spiritual warfare, all right? So listen, before you and I get into our text tonight, I really feel like we need to start from scratch, so to speak. All right. And we need to see how the faith promise concept develops from the Bible. Now, we would say this, the first thing that we must understand tonight is the biblical basis for all missions. Okay. And that is found in the commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself. All right. So I want you to hold your place there and I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 28 tonight. Matthew in chapter number 28. And I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. And many of us know this passage tonight and just want you to see this. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Notice that. All nations. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Now, the reason I said that this is familiar to many of us tonight is because we know this to be what we call, often called, the Great Commission. All right. There is a very similar command, statements that are given at the end of every gospel, Mark and Luke and John, even in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 8, the Lord Jesus gives something very similar when He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." And now listen to this, "and in the uttermost part of the earth." All right. Now, first of all, let's just step back here for a minute. And you think about this commandment that Christ gives here, this Great Commission, and two key things we could draw from this tonight certainly would be this. The message of the gospel is meant to be a worldwide message. I mean, this is why every one of the gospels ends with a similar command. It's because Christ intended that His gospel would be preached to every creature, that every person would hear the way of salvation and to be saved. Hey, God desires that every nation and every kindred and every tongue would hear the gospel and be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Now, you understand that the word "all" in the Greek, here's what it means, all. Doesn't mean just a specific group of people. It means every person under the sun. God desires them to be saved, whether they are in Missouri, whether they are in Kansas or Nebraska or down in Homestead, Florida, or, by the way, in the land of Sri Lanka or Germany or the Philippines. God wants everyone to be saved. You understand tonight that the gospel, this is not an American message tonight. This is not... Christianity is not an American religion, my friend. No, it is meant to be for the whole world. It's meant to be for the whole world. It's to transcend every nation and culture because every person needs to hear the gospel. Now, the second thing you've got to grab a hold of this, especially right here in the Gospel of Matthew, is who this Great Commission was given to. Now, I'm just telling you, this is very key. Because we would say tonight that we understand this is His disciples, His apostles. And so if we were to say that it was given to His apostles only, well, then we must conclude that it died with the apostles. And therefore, it no longer applies to us. But you and I tonight know that that's not the case, is it? We understand tonight that this was given to His church. Did I catch that tonight? It was given to His church. And by the way, here's what I find that's awesome about our text in Philippians, that even the church at Philippi validates that. Because that's what they were doing, is seeking to fulfill the Great Commission and financially helping out the Apostle Paul. Is anybody getting this tonight? I'm just telling you, friend, listen, you get your church doctrine right, it'll make sense all the way out through the Word of God. And I'm just listening, you have to understand tonight, that Jesus said this, and you got to remember this. He said that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now He said that in Matthew 16:18, and I believe this, that Jesus did this during His earthly ministry, that He started this. So you understand? Listen, that this same church that He would start with His disciples, with His apostles, that this would later on become be identified as the church at Jerusalem in the book of Acts. But you understand, like, please get this. The church did not start on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It was already started, my friend, with Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. It was simply empowered on the day of Pentecost. Amen. You understand, they were already having a business meeting in chapter 1. It was already a local visible assembly of baptized believers in chapter 1. That is a church. That is an ecclesia, my friend. The point is this, and what I'm trying to drive home tonight is that this Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, it wasn't just given to the apostles, it was given to His church. And therefore, all right, this same Great Commission then, it extends to everyone of the Lord's churches. The church at Philippi understood this, and the church at Faith Baptist in Olathe needs to understand this. That this is something that you and I are called to do tonight. That we're called to go and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, to follow Christ and disciples in their life. That's what we're to be doing. That's what every church is to be doing. Well, there's a problem though, isn't there? What do you mean, preacher? Well, you understand tonight, I cannot go to Sri Lanka. I can't go to Germany. I mean, I can, but I'm not called there. I'm called to Olathe, Kansas. Just like you're called to Olathe, Kansas. Is anybody catching this? So how is it that how are we supposed to go and to teach all nations? How are we supposed to fulfill this commandment that Christ has given here, and to get the gospel to these other places? Well, do you not understand tonight that that's where the biblical plan for Faith Promise Missions comes in? You and I, as Faith Baptist Church tonight, and I've said this before and I will say it all throughout my days as pastor here, but we need to understand tonight that the kingdom of God is much bigger than Faith Baptist Church in Olathe, Kansas. It is much bigger than us, friend. I'm telling you, listen, there are churches of like faith all throughout this world. It is much bigger than us. But at the same time, we can have a part in the kingdom of God. And we can have a part in seeing the gospel go out. And that's where Faith Promise Missions comes in, because we can give, and we can get behind a man of God and his family that are called to these other placements, and then our investment in them leads to spiritual fruit on our account. That means this, that we're fulfilling exactly what Christ said to do right here. All right, just trying to help you tonight. Some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate, man. I'm telling you, isn't it a blessing to be a part of this? Amen. My goodness tonight. Listen, go to Acts chapter number 13 very quickly with me. You can leave your place there, and we'll make it back to Philippians here in a little bit. But go with me to the book of Acts in chapter number 13. I might have said Acts 15, but Acts chapter 13. You can turn to Acts 15, but you won't be there. You'll be a little more confused than what you already are, all right? Look at Acts chapter 13. Look at verse number 1. He says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister." Now, the reason I had you to turn here is because this is the second thing that we must see in the biblical plan for missions. Okay? In this passage is recorded the calling of Barnabas and Saul. Of course, we know that it would eventually become the Apostle Paul. And really, this is the calling of these men into missions. All right? The church, we know this. Now, watch this. Because, I mean, you've been in the book of Acts on Wednesday night. I mean, this is coming to life right here tonight. But you understand that the church at Jerusalem, all right, that it was started by Christ and His disciples, His apostles. And we know this, that Christ would ascend to the right hand of the Father. They would be there. Persecution would then begin to break out on God's people there in Jerusalem and in Judea. And they would begin to flee. Well, as they fled, well, they wouldn't leave empty-handed, because they were taking the message of the gospel with them. What happened is that there were some of the disciples that came into the city of Antioch here. They began to give the gospel and people were getting saved. And so the next thing you know, the church at Jerusalem heard about it, and they sent Barnabas out to organize the church and to become the pastor. And Barnabas, realizing that this work here was going to need help, he would get Saul of Tarsus, who is Paul, to assist him. And so here they are in the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, and they're serving the Lord and doing what God's called them to do there. And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost dips down into this church and calls Barnabas and Paul to take the gospel, the work that he's called them to, and that's this, to take the gospel into other cities and to see more churches planted. That's exactly what they do. They begin to go into Galatia, and we saw this on Wednesday nights, and the region of Galatia, and they begin to see churches planted and started. Here's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, though, is this, is that though God has not called you or I to go into another city or another nation with the gospel, and by the way, that doesn't mean He can't. I mean, He might dip down into this missions conference and call a young man to preach or call a young man to the mission field. And praise God for that. And by the way, let me say this, Mom and Dad. If God works in that way, the best thing you can do is get behind God and encourage Him in it. Because you wouldn't, listen to me, there is no better place for our children to be than in God's will for their life, even if that means them on a foreign field somewhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you. But here's, let me get back to what I'm saying. That was just a side note. It's all free. It was no charge. The point is this, though God has not called you and I to go to another city or another nation with the gospel, listen to this, He has called others. He has called others. And when you take the Great Commission, okay, when you take the Great Commission that we just looked at, and you add it to the truth that God calls men to take the gospel to other nations and other areas, well, my friend, that's where you get the biblical concept for missions. Though you and I have been called to go where we're at, which is Olathe, Kansas, God has called others to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, and therefore we can still have a part in fulfilling the Great Commission by supporting those that God has called through prayer and through faith promise missions giving. Is anybody getting that tonight? Some of you are just kind of just sitting there and staring at me and there's no nodding. This is not a lecture tonight. This is preaching, all right? And I'm just trying to get you to understand the biblical concept. That when you understand, listen, God's called us to take the commission, to take the gospel to every nation, but yet you and I are not called to every nation. God has called men to go. And so we as a church can get behind those men prayerfully and financially and support them as they go. And I'm telling you, by doing that, we are fulfilling what God has called us to do. We can preach the gospel here in Olathe. They can preach the gospel in Sri Lanka and in Germany and in other places where we are supporting. And we are fulfilling the Great Commission that God has called us to fulfill. That's the idea here. Let me just give it to you like this, and I've said this before, but listen to this, and I got this underlined in my notes. The Bible plan for Faith Promise missions is for missionaries to be sent out of New Testament Baptist churches, prayed for by New Testament Baptist churches, and financially supported by New Testament Baptist churches. That, my friend, is biblical missions, Faith Promise missions, and that's exactly what you and I get to be a part of. Now let's go back to Philippians tonight, because the reason that I had you go there is because really we see a perfect example of a church that grabbed a hold of this concept. They realized that, hey, we're in Philippi and this is where God wants us to preach the gospel. I mean, this is why God saved us. And so we can't go into Thessalonica and we can't go into Corinth. And we can't, listen, we can't go into Ephesus and Asia Minor, but we know a man that God has called by the name of Paul. And we can get behind him and we can help him, thus helping to fulfill what Christ has called all of His churches to fulfill. And that's the church at Philippi here. And in fact, I would even say this, look at verse number 15. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. I'm going to say to you tonight that they were the first church to grab the hold of it in the region of Macedonia. What a blessing. Amen. I mean, listen, it's like the church at Philippi. They were a good church, man. They were a good church. They had the joy of the Lord. They were serving the Lord. They were faithful. And boy, I'm telling you, they grabbed a hold of the concept of missions. Number one tonight, I want you to see the relief of the church at Philippi. The relief of the church at Philippi. Look at what happens in verse number 10. Paul begins to give a report here. He says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done." Now watch this. "That ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, my friend, when you got an affliction and somebody helps you with that, I'd say this, that's relief. And that's what Paul here is dealing with. And then he goes on. Now, we read verse 15 where he talks about how that the church in Philippi communicated with him in giving and receiving, or no church besides them communicated in giving and receiving. But look at verse 16. He says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Let me say that again. Necessity. That means this, needs. That means Paul wasn't looking to buy a brand new Jeep Wrangler. I'm surprised my wife didn't jump up and say, "Amen." No, Paul was looking to get his needs met. And the church at Philippi helped him with that. Now, I don't want to rehash everything on Wednesday nights that we've been going through. I do love how we're kind of, we're right here, aren't we? We know this, that in Acts chapter 16, and we saw this in our Wednesday night studies, that Paul and Silas, they would receive what we call the Macedonia call. We know this, that in the first missionary journey, it was Paul and Barnabas, and they were primarily in the region of Galatia. But then after that, Paul and Silas would leave out on the second missionary journey. And as they were struggling with where to go, and the Spirit would not allow them into Bithynia, and the Spirit would not let them go into Asia Minor. And then that's when Paul would receive a vision of a man in Macedonia praying and calling out to them to come over and to help them. And so what God was doing, though, is He was showing Paul where He wanted him to go to take the gospel. And that's exactly what Paul would do. He would sail across the Aegean Sea into Macedonia, the region of Macedonia. And the very first stop was the chief city called Philippi, a Roman colony there. And in fact, we saw this last Wednesday night, that the first person to get saved was Lydia, a seller of purple. And what a testimony that was, where God would open up her heart. But by the way, after God opened up her heart and she got saved and her household got saved and they got baptized, Lydia would open up her home. And a church would begin to meet there in the city of Philippi. In fact, we're going to see later on in our Wednesday night messages that there's going to be a damsel that is demon possessed, and Paul cast the demon out. And then a Philippian jailer and his family get saved after God shakes the jail cell open. Good stuff. I love it when he comes in and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul gives them the gospel. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen. And what a blessing all of that stuff is. But here's what I'm trying to get to you tonight, is that Paul would eventually depart. He would go into the city of Thessalonica and do the very same thing that he did in Philippi. Well, what's that? Preach the gospel and plant churches. And he would start the church in Thessalonica. But here is where we find out that the church at Philippi, they begin to communicate with the Apostle Paul. They begin to help him. He says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Notice in verse 18, he said, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. So it seems that they sent one of their men, Epaphroditus, one of their trustworthy men, with a financial gift to help the Apostle Paul to meet his needs in the ministry that God has called him to. So notice, God called Paul to take the gospel and to see churches planted. The church at Philippi recognized that. They recognized they were debtors to the gospel. And though they couldn't go and take the gospel to other nations, well, they could get behind a man who God did call, and his name was Paul. And that's exactly what they begin to do. You understand tonight? That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. This is where Faith Promise Missions comes in. That we're to offer financial help to help relieve the necessities and the burdens and the afflictions that our missionaries and those God-called men would endure. Now, I'm just saying, listen, I can hear, I'm just telling you, see this, when you start preaching about faith promise and giving and money, this is what people begin to think in their mind. Oh, I knew it. It was going to be about money again tonight. These Baptists, it's always about money. Now, listen, if some of you are looking at me like, yeah, that's crazy. Because you know me, we don't hardly ever deal with these kind of things. Well, every other week. But here's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. See, that's the attitude that comes from a self-serving mentality of this world. And it's all about me. See, you get people that come to church and say, what can Faith Baptist Church do for me? And it's always about getting, and it's always about getting. Well, let me ask you tonight, what can you give to Faith Baptist Church? What can you offer up? And I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about service, I'm talking about time, and I'm talking about talent. Is everybody getting this? No, I'm just saying to you tonight, friend, that may we get past that mentality of the world and understand that faith, promise, missions, giving, it is of the Bible. And listen, the gospel goes far beyond you and yours and me and mine. There are men of God that God has called. There are families that are going to foreign fields that have needs, that have burdens, that have necessities, that have afflictions, and you and I can be a part of relieving them. And that's what the church at Philippi began to realize and began to communicate with Paul. And by the way, friend, this was not a rich church. I'm just telling you, read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They were in poverty. I'm talking about the depths of poverty, yet they gave of themselves first. And then they gave and gave to the Apostle Paul. And I'm telling you, listen, when you give of yourself, that's where it starts, isn't it? And then you begin to do what God wants you to do, because you begin to see things in light of the Scriptures and in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling, listen to me, it's not just people in Olathe that need to be saved tonight. They do need to be saved. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people in Sri Lanka that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. There are people in Germany that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you some things here from the Apostle Paul and these verses that we read. I think we would all agree tonight this, that missionaries have needs. Listen, Paul began to lay those things out. We saw that in words like afflictions and in words like necessities. And you understand that hasn't changed. The bottom line is this, is that missionaries need financial support just like the Apostle Paul needed these things. Yeah, listen, just like it took money in Paul's day, well, let's get over it. It still takes money in our day. That's the reality. That's where we're at, friend. It takes money to buy tracks. It takes money to rent a place to meet. It takes money to feed a family. It takes money to help give a missionary a place to live where him and his family can stay. Most foreign missionaries, I don't know if you are aware of this tonight, but most foreign missionaries, generally speaking across the board, when they go into foreign countries, they're not even allowed to work. They're oftentimes on a temporary visa, and so they're not allowed to go in and get a secular job, just like anyone else under the sun. And so they are reliant upon the financial support of churches in their own nation. My friend, Brother Kent Hogan, the pastor down in Carthage, Missouri, Bible Baptist Church, and him and his wife surrendered to go to Israel. We're going to have them in July, and we're going to be hosting them. And listen to this. They can't even. He called me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and was telling me about their ministry. And he has done scuba diving and stuff like that. That was kind of his hobby as he was pastoring there in Carthage. And we talk about those things. I had done a little bit as a young man and even as a teenager and had been around it some. And so we would kind of fellowship over those things. And he called me and he said, "Brother," he said, "listen, you can't go into Israel under the title of, I'm going there to be a church planter. I'm going there to preach the gospel." They won't let you into the country. But what he can do is he can go into Israel as a scuba diver instructor. And he said this, he said, "They don't know this, but we're going there. We're going there. I'm going to teach scuba diver lessons and then we're going to be planting a church." Now, all I could think of in my mind was a bunch of people standing around in their scuba equipment with their waterproof Bibles and under the water and bubbles coming up. And I could just see Brother Hogan going, "Boo-boo-boo-boo-boo." Pretty sure that's not how that's going to work. All right. Anyways, that was all free too. That wasn't in my notes, but that's pretty good. I'm telling you, missionaries have needs. I think probably one of the most humbling things is to go to a church planters conference. Like we often do in January, we go there to Heartland and go to the church planters conference and give needs. And you ought to just read the needs of these families that are going to plant churches in America. And I'm talking about things like my wife has some dental work that needs to be done and we can't afford it because we're moving to where God wants us to go and they're sacrificing and they're giving up everything under the sun. They're giving up all the temporal things. And they just need help with stuff like, I mean, you got families that got kids and we need money to buy homeschool material. I'm telling you, you just sit there and weep. Because of what they're giving up to go where God wants them to go. And you understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight is this, is that they have necessities. They have afflictions. They have things that we could relieve them with. It's humbling. And some wouldn't even look at me tonight and say, "Well, what about church planters, preacher? Why are we supporting them? They can work here in their country." And you know what? That's true. But let me say to you tonight, why not? Wouldn't it be better for them to be able to have the time that they need to do the work that God's called them to do? To go out and door knock and to go out and pass out flyers and to minister to people and to give the gospel. And by the way, wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to help them rent a place to meet? And then to see somebody get saved and it just be more fruit added to our account. Now don't get me wrong. I think once a guy's been there about 4 or 5 years, he ought to understand where he's at financially. And if he does, if he does need to work a job, part-time or whatever to meet his needs, then that's fine. And we can turn him loose and we can support another man that God has called. I'm all for that. But at the same time, let's not be so quick to just dismiss everything under the sun. Because the reality is, whether you're planting a church here in the state or you're going into a foreign field where you can't work to plant a church, there are still afflictions, there are still necessities, and you and I can help with those things. In fact, notice what happens, and I already read this, but in verses 15 and 16, of course, verse 16 specifically, it says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity." So certainly we would say this, number one, missionaries have needs, but number two, the church at Philippi gave to meet those needs. They wanted to see the same message that they had received, the gospel, go to other people in other places. Which is why they were given to the Apostle Paul. Folks, that is faith promise giving at its best. And that's what, listen, it's no different with us. And I want you to think about some of the principles that are here, that they are still the same today. For instance, we don't, they're still the same. Now, we would say there's some things that are a little different, like we don't have to send Epaphroditus to get the money to them. Kind of glad for that. I mean, I'm willing to drive to Leawood to give Brother Drinkard his check, and then I can stop at Joe's KC Barbecue over there and get a sandwich on the way back. I mean, you're there. You might as well go to Andy's. We can just wire it straight to their account. But there are still principles that are of giving here that are still the same. Can I say to you tonight this? It was by faith. Come on, it was by faith. It was obedience into the Word of God. But we would also say this. It wasn't their tithe.
That's right.
No. Tithing is the biblical way to financially support the church you're a part of.
Right.
Missions is giving an offering. It is a love offering by faith, which is above the tithe. And each individual or couple must pray, ask God what He would have them to give towards missions. We are not to give of our tithe towards missions or even part of our tithe. That goes to the church that we are a part of. This is above the tithe. But can I also say this? Not only is it by faith and it's above the tithe, but let's also point this out. It's not the leftovers either. In other words, we don't just, add up all our bills for the week and groceries and all the stuff that we need. And then whatever we have left, we'll give to the missionary. And digging around and getting the change out of our purse. And that's not faith promise. That's not, you understand, you need to pray. Let me say that again. You need to pray. And you need to ask God what He would have you to give. And I'm going to tell you something. What I have found, what we have found in our family and in our life is this. That's probably going to require sacrifice. Maybe giving up something. I'm just telling you, you might have to drink Folgers coffee instead of Starbucks. But wouldn't it be worth it to see somebody get saved in Sri Lanka? Look at verse number 10. He says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now, when we see that phrase, "ye lacked opportunity," we think of it as something that is negative. But that's not the intention there. The idea here is this, is that they gave. Even when it wasn't convenient for them to give. And again, I just want to mention 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because Paul, as he's dealing with the church at Corinth, which was a church in Achaia, he uses the example of the churches in Macedonia to encourage them to give. One of those churches being Philippi. And he says this about them, that they gave of themselves first. And then they gave on top of that. Yet this was a church that was in deep, deep poverty. These were not rich people. These were poor people. Broken people. Empty people. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The grace of God was mighty through them. And that's what Paul begins to testify of in 2 Corinthians. I want to say to you tonight this. For some, you know what? It might be $10 a week or $20 a week. Maybe it's $100 or $150 or $200 a week. I don't know. But I do want to say to you tonight, it's not a competition. Though sometimes I take it that way for some. I'm just, it's a guy thing. I don't know. It's like when you pass all the cars on the interstate, but then somebody's got to go to the restroom. And then you pull off and all the cars that you made a purpose of passing have now passed you. And you're like, hurry up. We got to get back on and pass. All right. Sorry. It's not here. Listen, it's not a competition, but I will say this. It is a command of God to get involved and to give as God has given to you. And then, listen, all you do is even mention tonight, you take your little faith promise card and you fill it out. Again, don't put your name on it because it's a commitment or a promise between you and God. And then you fill it out and you put the one side in the offering plate and then you keep the other side in you so that you can remember how much you wrote down. Because if you're like me, the day goes on and you slept and then you forgot. But I would even say this, it's something you can pray over each week. That God would allow you to give and to be a part of. And listen, but here's the thing. You understand there is a purpose behind all this?
Do you realize that the reason we ask you to do these things and to turn it in is so that we as a church body can know how much missions money to expect to come in? And then we can be good stewards of it? How foolish would it be for us to have these two missionary families come and go, yep, we're going to support them. And then they leave town. And 2 weeks later, we find out that there's not as much money coming in as we thought. And so we can't support you. Sure does help when you know. When God's people have gotten along with God and they prayed and they sought God's direction and then they write it down and we know what's going on. Amen. Now it's all making sense, isn't it? See, we're not just crazy. Just me mostly, but not all. At the same time, I'm thankful this. We can look to the Bible and see it right there, can't we? Can I also say this? It was done more than once. Verse 15, he talks about this. He says, now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as giving and receiving, but ye only, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once, and again, under my necessity. The church at Philippi gave twice while he was in Thessalonica. They communicated with Paul about giving to him, even when he left Macedonia. It's almost like they wanted to start establishing monthly support to the Apostle Paul. Paul, we want to help you out. We want to do what we can. Folks, that's what we're to do. Just as we want to be good stewards of what monies are coming in, we tell missionaries who we choose to support of monthly support that they can expect from us so that they too can be good stewards of the money we give to them. And then each month we send out checks to the missionaries we support. It's right there. In fact, we even examine our missions giving each year by having a missions conference, don't we? It's like the parable of the fig tree in Luke chapter 13. We leave it alone for a year, see how it goes, and then we come back and we regroup, we check the fruit, and then listen, we have a missions conference and we do it all over again. We recommit every year. And you'd say to me, well, why do we do that? Well, there are several reasons behind that. Certainly we would say this, number one, it's a good reminder that ministry is about missions. It's a good reminder. In fact, it's one that we need to be reminded of tonight, whether it be our own city or even beyond us, that it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting this message to a lost and dying world. I would even say to you tonight that maybe we need to change it from missions conference to missions revival. Because I believe this, it can be like a revival. Secondly, it's good for us to examine ourselves and recommit. Maybe the Lord done a work in your life and you want to commit more. Maybe He blessed with a raise because He said the year before, do this, and you done it, and God blessed. And listen, maybe you paid some bills off so that you can do more and be more involved. Well, here's your chance. I would even say this, that it also gives an opportunity for those that have never been involved to get involved. I've always said this as a pastor. Now, when I got saved there in Pensacola, we always had a goal every year. And we always passed the goal and then we would have dinner on the grounds. I always wondered what would happen if we set a goal and we didn't make the goal. Would we not get dinner on the grounds that day? No nanner pudding. For me personally, I've always felt like this. I don't want to set goals. It's not to say that I don't have some things in mind. I've already mentioned this. I think we ought to be. I think really we as a church body, we need to be praying about God using us to go over $100,000 for a year in missions. We really should be there. But here's what my goal has always been as a pastor. Everybody would be involved. Everybody would be. That they would get involved in Faith Promise missions. That's what my goal is. That's what my goal is. Now, let me give you the second thing and I'm done tonight. You're there in Philippians chapter 4. Look in verse number 17. It says, he says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God, or well-pleasing to God. And then he goes on and talks about how my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what I see here is this, is that not only do I see the relief that the church at Philippi gives to the Apostle Paul, but I see this. I see the rewards that God has for the church at Philippi. Certainly we would say this, as Paul mentions in verse number 18. He says, but I have all and abound, I am full, because of what he received from Epaphroditus. Couldn't we say this tonight? That as we give in Faith Promise Missions, that one of the rewards of that is that the needs of the missionaries are met. Hey, what a blessing that is. How encouraging that is. Listen, they're able to buy tracts. They're able to rent a place to meet. They're able to have a place to stay. They're able to feed their family. Their needs are taken care of. Praise God, we get to have a part in that. But look at verse number 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Because here's the second reward. Fruit is added to our account. Do you not understand what the Apostle Paul was saying? Here's what he was saying. He's saying to the church at Philippi, you're having a part in people getting saved in the city of Thessalonica. You're having part in people that are going to be saved in Achaia when I go down there and I preach in Athens and Corinth and those places. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that it's the same with us. When we give, we get, and we hear about people getting saved in our missionary letters. Do you not understand that if we're participating in Faith Promise Missions, we had a part in that. That's fruit that's added to our account. We don't think about stuff like this, but in terms of reality, when it's all said and done and we're all in heaven, we're going to get to meet people that we had a part in getting the gospel to. Isn't that amazing? It amazes me. I think about when I was pastoring in Cassville. And we had the Barlow family, missionaries to Slovenia, still there. And planted the first Baptist church in Slovenia. Pretty awesome. And I can remember we would get letters from the Barlow family and we would read them on Wednesday night, just like we do here. And we were keeping track. And there was a man named Joe that he was doing discipleship with. And he said to pray for his salvation, and we were praying for his salvation, and Joe got saved. And then the Barlows came off the field for furlough, and we had them in one of our missions conference, and Brother Monty Barlow was talking about Joe and him getting saved, and all of our people were smiling because we had been praying for him. And I'm just saying, listen, to this day, I have never met Joe. I don't know what his face looks like. I think I remember seeing a picture of him. But I'm just saying to you, one of these days I'll get to meet Joe from Slovenia in heaven. And I had a part in that. Now I just listen, all the glory belongs to him. I just hope we get to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we're doing what God said to do. But I'm just simply saying to you that, listen, that's the idea of what Paul is saying here, that it's fruit that's added to your account, just like it's fruit that's added to your account right now, as you're giving. Now here's, look at verse number 19, and I'm done tonight. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what I believe tonight? I believe this. God blesses a mission-minded church. And that's what Paul was trying to get across to the church at Philippi. All right, listen, when you and I get a global vision of the gospel going to every people and kindred and nation and tongue, and then we get involved financially, this brings the blessings of God on our lives and our church family. And God, in turn, will supply all of our needs according to His riches. Because you know what? God owns it all. God owns it all. I could sit here tonight and talk about things like you can't outgive God. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We've heard that, but it's not just a cliche. It's true. You can't. All I know is this. Listen. All I know is this, and I'm just going to tell you this tonight, and I'm done. When I got saved,
I started tithing. All right, I followed the Lord in baptism. I became a member of Victory Bible Baptist Church, and I knew that I was supposed to tithe. Now, to my ignorance, I didn't know the difference between net and gross. So I was tithing on the net, and then somebody said, no, you're supposed to tithe on the gross. Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar, and unto God. So I started tithing on the gross. So if you're tithing on the net tonight, you're not doing it right. All right. Now, I was ignorant. I didn't understand that. And so then I finally figured that out. And then the next thing I knew, we were having a missions conference. And I was like, what is a missions conference? And we had people like that were going to Kenya, Africa. And then we had people going to like Germany and Ireland and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they started, you know, then they had a goal, and we had a goal. We're going to give this much. And I went, oh, and then guys would, you know, men, people would stand up and say, I'm going to give this much a week, and God has blessed. And all I knew was this, is that if they're taking the gospel that I got saved by, if they're taking the gospel somewhere else and that they can get saved like I got saved, I want in. Now, that's the way I look at it. Now, some people, they go, well, I just don't hear. He goes again, talking about money. Get over it. Amen. But all I knew was this. I got saved, and if they can get saved, they're going to start a church. I want in. And I started giving. Now, it wasn't much. It was all I had. Started giving above the tithe. And then over the year, I grew in it, and I grew in it, and I grew. We're still growing in it. But here's what I know, is that from the time that I have done what God has called me to do in giving of my tithe and giving in faith promise missions, I'm going to tell you something tonight, I've never been without. God has blessed me. And God has been good. And God has taken care of our needs. God has done, if I could say it like this, exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And I'm just telling, I don't listen, I don't sit, well, you just, you know, you're just lucky. No. No, I believe this, that God has supplied all my needs according to His riches. Because I've been involved in Faith Promise missions. And I believe He can do the same for you tonight. But you and I got to be willing to submit ourselves and go, you know what, this is Bible. This is what the church at Philippi was doing. And this is what we need to be doing tonight. And maybe that we'd just find a spot. I realize tonight this is maybe a little bit of a different message than the life of Moses or something like that. I will say tonight, if there's never been a time and place where you've called upon the name of the Lord, that tonight needs to be the night. It's what it's all about. But for us as a church body tonight, it would be so good if we just begin right now tonight. Just to mark off a spot on an altar or in a pew somewhere. And let's start seeking the Lord about what He wants to do through us in Faith Promise missions. Because I'm going to tell you something. Missionaries need relief. But oh my friend, the rewards that are in it. It's a win-win.
Amen.
It's a win-win. Let's all stand tonight.